welcome to the Philadelphia Channel, spotlighting the innovators making meaningful impact throughout the region across a wide range of collaborative and creative fields, including philanthropy, education, technology, family life, social entrepreneurship, advocacy of the arts, and more. Here's your host, Robert Rim.
American artist Bill Viola, born in 1951, is celebrated for his genre-defying, mind-expanding work in new media. He's a visionary artist whose installations feature moving images that invite meditations on birth, death, and spiritual themes, as well as the nature of human consciousness. The upcoming special exhibition, I Do Not Know What It Is I Am Like, The Art of Bill Viola, has been organized for the Barnes by distinguished guest curator John Hanhart, and will bring together a selection of Bill's major pieces from 1976 to 2009, including smaller screen-based works and rarely seen large-scale installations. John is a passionate history devoted to the media arts and contemporary culture, including his teaching at Bard College, Columbia, Harvard, and Yale universities, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and a number of others. He's a renowned lecturer, writer, and panel participant worldwide, and has worked for the Museum of Modern Art, the Whitney Museum of American Art, the Guggenheim Museum, the Smithsonian Institution, and its American Art Museum, among others. John, welcome to the Philadelphia Channel.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell us about what led to your involvement with the media arts. What first drew you in and your subsequent career that's had really quite an impact in multiple areas?
Well, it began with an interest in cinema, in film. And I was, as an undergraduate, studying language and linguistics and was involved with the Film Society at the university. But before then, I was growing up in Rochester, New York. I had the opportunity to know the founder of the George Eastman House, which is one of the great collections and archives of international film. And that inspired me to then pursue this interest in film and fully expected that my career would be that of an academic, you know, studying film, and pursued that to New York University Department of Cinema Studies, which was the first, interestingly, the first graduate program to study, recognize film as an art form, and not as a studio art program, but in terms of history, theory, criticism, and so forth. And so from there, I discovered the museum, and that was the opportunity to be at the chosen to have an opportunity to work at the Museum of Modern Art Department of Film. And what attracted me to film and then to film in the museum was that it's an art form, it's a medium that has had such an impact on all of the arts, yet it's not been fully understood, appreciated, and that the great institutions of the museum could be a way to see that history in relationship to the other arts, and for people to experience the idea of what that art form of the moving image is, was, is, and can be. And it's been fascinating to see over the past 40 plus years, the museum, the art world, and artists, most importantly, fully embracing all kinds of moving image technologies as artists' media.
And you'll bring that background to bear in the upcoming exhibition. I mentioned Bill Viola. He's really a pioneering video artist who's redefined moving images that challenge the senses in a way that's really altogether compelling. For those unfamiliar with his work, share with our audience key aspects about Bill and also the range of his creativity.
There will be an opportunity in Philadelphia to really have an unusually extensive opportunity to experience Bill's work. In addition to the work on view at the Barnes Foundation, the Fabric Workshop and Museum is showing a piece, as well as the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts. They're both showing large-scale installations. And what public is going to discover is that Bill's art form, the medium of video, has been a means to explore time, the moving image, and how it unfolds in time. One of the distinctive features of his work is how he extends the time of an action, and through that brings to the surface of the image emotion, a kind of tactile sense of the medium of through which a body is plunging in water, or emotions are being felt by a voice, a face. What's wonderful about Bill's work is that there's a kind of, and this is what I think comes out very clearly, a kind of deeply felt humanism, a sense of beauty that this medium can really transform how we see the world. It can transform how we see ourselves. And to me, not to take away from your question, but I do think that one of the great gifts that artists and changes in the history of art bring is new ways to see ourselves and new ways to see the world around us. And essentially, the moving image across its history, I mean, literature has been totally transformed. Dance, theater, architecture, painting, sculpture, all the arts felt the impact across the 20th century. I think 20th century art history is going to be rewritten through the moving image. And then has become even more powerful as artists have used this medium to create art forms themselves out of film, video, and digital media. And Bill was an artist on the forefront of that second generation after Nam June Paik, after some of the founding artists who in the 1950s, late 50s, 60s turned to video. And Bill, emerging in the early 70s, had this understanding. It's very fascinating. I mean, that he understood that this medium could be a tool to extend and change how we make art in ways that could carry on a conversation with all forms of art and culture and ideas.
Hmm. And what you just described really ties into the exhibition itself. I do not know what it is I am like. This is both a questing and a questioning title that suggests both experimentation and self-examination. Tell us about the gestation of this title and how it relates to so many of us at various times in our lives.
Well, that's a fascinating question because it's there's an essay in the catalog for the book by Thomas Carlson, which does a deep dive into investigation into this piece, beginning with the title itself as being a line from the Rig Veda, the great sacred text of Hinduism written in Sanskrit, and a fundamentally question about who we are, how we see ourselves in our lives and our relationship to the world at large. And essentially, I chose that work. I do not know what it is I am like. It's a single channel videotape. It's going to be shown weekly in the theater at the Barnes. It's a feature length work, so it's 89 minutes long. And it carries one on a journey around the world through all kinds of landscapes of nature, life, death, different kinds of cultural experiences with confronting the primary forces, and also just a wonderful evocation of mystery. You know, the mysteries that we feel when we're alone in nature, or we see a fire in the distance and wonder what it is. And he brings that forward in marvelous ways. And there's a great scene. Bill was artist in residence at the San Diego Zoo. And he had his camera looking at an owl on a perch in the zoo. And he zoomed in with a zoom lens onto the eye. And what did he see but his own reflection in the eye of the owl? And it became a fantastic kind of, I remember he called me from California, I was in New York, and said he had this extraordinary epiphany of looking and seeing that reflection. So it's a kind of metaphor the lens of the camera, the eye of the owl, becoming one. And in a sense, that is the quest that becomes one in I Do Not Know What It Is I Am Like.
What an evocative image. And when you referenced the zoo, it reminded me of what Bill describes this particular work as. In his words, a personal investigation of the interstates and connections to animal consciousness that we all carry within. These are suggestive and seductive words.
Yes, they are fantastic. And you know, it's I have spent a lot of time with Bill in his studio and his library. He's a, as I indicated in my, and try to explore in my contribution to the catalog is how ideas inform his art. And whether it's a poetic text or a scientific one or a work of mysticism or a deeply felt religious meditation, they were all ways and instrument tools to open up his sensibility intellectually. And then as an artist, to use that inspiration to open up his lens, so to speak, his the instrument of his medium, and to give expression to and to represent the human being as that individual, but that person that stands for everyone. And one of the things I feel is evoked in Bill's work and why I felt special privilege to be organizing this exhibition for the Barnes is that one of the things that really intrigued me about the Barnes is that collection, Albert Barnes, what he created. And for viewers to come in and see a personal quest of bringing together art and then to be opened up to it, to experience it directly. And that's really what I think Bill's is happening in Bill's work. He's opening up the world, offering us a means to experience it directly, not through the codes of the documentary or the narrative cinema or feel that it has to be tied to some storytelling. It's a profound story that comes out of the universe, that comes out of our world and out of our sense of being. And I think that's these are big ideas. They're ambitious ones, but they're what has translated his imagery into something that's so profound and speaks to people everywhere. I mean, I've seen audiences transfixed by what they've been given an opportunity to experience through his work.
And now, a word from Arch Street Press. Still the Promised Land by Natwar Gandhi. Natwar Gandhi began life in a dusty Indian village that had no paved streets, no electricity, no telephone, and no running water. When he was 17, his father put him on a train to Mumbai in hopes that he might find work and send money home to help support the family. In Mumbai, he barely made a living, but through countless long days of work, relentless determination, and good luck, he was able to take a plane to New York at the age of 25, where he landed with $7 in his pocket. Still, The Promised Land is the fascinating and deeply personal story of how an impoverished immigrant made his way to the New World, remade his life, and ultimately became the chief financial officer of Washington, D.C., playing a key role in transforming the nation's capital from a near-bankrupt municipality into a financially healthy major American city. Gandhi's life is both cautionary and instructive, difficult yet uplifting. Ultimately, it is a harrowing and inspiring account of how to survive seemingly hopeless circumstances and succeed in America. His journey has an uplifting message for present-day America, where immigrants are often reviled and immigration itself is denigrated. It reaffirms faith in the United States' future as a great nation. Indeed, it puts forth that the 21st century will be an American century that embraces all cultures. Still the Promised Land. We now return to John and Robert.
In addition to smaller screen-based works, this exhibition brings together a selection of Bill's major pieces which were created from 1976 to 2009. It includes the rarely seen large-scale installations He Weeps for You, Numa, and Ascension. These are provocative and fascinating productions. And John, I realize how challenging it can be to put these into words, but can you give us an idea, a preview of what viewers can expect within each of them?
Yes, I'll try.
Okay.
He Weeps for You, from 1976, early work. And what it uses is the property of what we call closed circuit video. That's the means that the video camera, this was unlike cinema, unlike any other moving image medium, where what the camera is recording, you can see in real time. We all familiar with this, but back in that time, that was an innovative extension of the moving image as a medium. And Bill, in this piece, there's a spigot from which a single drop emerges, gets larger, and then drops and hits a surface where that sound that you can't hear is amplified. So then it fills the gallery. That tiny drop creates this explosive sound. But you're seeing the drop emerge projected onto a surface screen. So that tiny drop, the micro becomes a macro, this large image. That tiny drop becomes not an inaudible sound, but an explosive one. So it's enhancing, making very visceral and something felt, a tiny change, which is what our world's made up of, tiny changes that become big changes. And that's the great power of our environment and of creative expression. Now, Ascension, a work from 2000, fills a gallery wall. You come in and you're looking into the water, and dropping down comes a man who appears in the water, plunging down. Now, this work employs Bill's signature technique of slow motion, so that his body, as it sinks in front of us into the water, he spreads his arms, the tiny bubbles emerge. Every gesture, his clothing, every element of it is lit and shaped by the movement of the water on the body of the person. And it's if you think about how a painter conveys cloth and materials to give expression to the body within, Bill is manipulating that watery mass through his treatment of time. Time becomes a surface to develop and convey poetic power out of this mysterious plunge and then return to the surface. And it's explosive, it's large, it's graphic, it's absolutely sublime with all that. Numa is a projections on the walls of another gallery space, large-scale work, first done in 1994, and then was some modification in 2009. And it has these sort of night vision images, black and white, that are projected onto the wall. So you're entering in, if you will, to the image. You're embraced. You're surrounded by it. It's abstract and representational, whole and fragmented. It's ghost-like and ethereal. It's like you're dreaming of your childhood as children emerge and appear and disappear. And again, it's Bill's interest in human cognition, of memory. What are we? How do we remember? And how about childhood and death and birth, themes that we see throughout his work? And while it's not directly and explicitly about that, it somehow conveys it. Because that's one of the things that art does. It's not explicitly about something, but there's always more that you gain from it as you spend time with it. So for the museum goer, you know, you go often into the more traditional galleries and you say, well, I'm looking at this painting. You look at it and walk away. Well, yes, you're looking at it, but you aren't really getting the full impact of that painting. It takes time, and knowledge gains more as you learn the iconography of the painting. And then you learn more as you can understand how the painter treated the surface and the pigment, and how that is an imagined, wholly imagined image or drawn from experience. And so with Bill's work as a time-based work, and as the first video artist to be shown in the Barnes Gallery, it takes time to experience the work. But the rewards are the more time you spend with it, the more you experience, and the more you gain from it. I always say that's what we can say about any artwork. The more time you spend with it and learn from it. You know, people go back to the Barnes to see the paintings. They've seen them hundreds of times. Of course, they should be also coming back and seeing Bill's work. And this is the great opportunity people will have in Philadelphia to spend time with his work.
No question. And from your descriptions, it's clear that Bill's works really defy any kind of preset classification in a way that inevitably lead to meditations on human consciousness, on spirituality, on the cycle of life and death. So many creative pioneers have tackled these areas in our lives in all media, from music and drama to literature and art.
Absolutely. That's Bill has explored throughout his life is all of those forms, all of those traditions, all of those ways that humans have creatively responded from the caves of Lascaux to the great works of the medieval cathedral to the Renaissance tapestry, you name it, or the plays of Japan. I mean, it's all of these forms are in these religious expressions and theological and mystical experiences are things that he turned to, not to remake them. And I think this is really important. As much as his work draws from Renaissance art, or as we see in pieces like The Greeting in the gallery, it's not there to copy or remake a work. It's inspiration from it, and created something transformatively very different from that original source of inspiration. And that's what you're pointing to, that kind of extended dialogue across the millennia through culture, art, creative expression. And I think that's that great interest that Bill has in beauty, aesthetics, humanity, his humanism, really distinguishes him from so much of contemporary culture, and that's why I think his work is courageous and his dedication to those ideas and ideals.
And during the 1970s, Bill was a vanguard leader experimenting with a new medium of video, and he really did pave the way for subsequent generations of media artists, didn't he?
Oh, yes, absolutely, because all recognition that individual artists achieve adds and accrues to other generations. And he was a great, he's a very open person. He's someone who likes to speak to his work. He's been awarded many fellowships and research grants to pursue his interest in intellectual history and culture and so forth, but also to spend time with students and to speak to his work. I always remember that one of the great classical collections and museum is the Frick in New York City, and Bill gave a talk there, and it was clear that generation of museum director deeply involved in the classical history of Western and global painting and multiple cultures. I don't mean just Western, but looking at those traditions, were attracted to Bill's work, because his work does speak across generations to all peoples, because I think that's one of the great, because they're sort of foundational experiences, foundational feelings that we see in the work, you know, the fears of threats of violence that appear in the eyes of his performers, or of death and grieving. These strong emotions and these strong feelings conveyed through that wonderful slow motion of his, that ability to slow the image down, then makes it very visible and present, tactile, if you will. And so I think that, by the way, that tactility, the idea of the hand, the gestures, we see that in ablutions, a two-panel piece where hands are rhythmically washing in the water, the liquid becomes a material. It has a purifying sense to it. The greeting, another work in the exhibition, which was first shown in the Venice Biennale in 1995, is based on a painting by Pontormo. Again, this is a work that takes its inspiration from a painting but becomes a work of the moving image. And again, where action is slowed down, vividly expressed and conveyed. And then other works such as Catherine's Room, intimate, exquisitely detailed, small video, five panels that look at someone going through the rituals of daily life, of preparation of their domestic space. Again, Bill's interest in interiors and domestic life. And then observance, people coming toward us in slow motion, feeling clearly grief. They're looking at a space like it's in front of us. We're standing in front of the screen, the surface. They're looking, and they're essentially acknowledging us. We find ourselves with them experiencing profound feelings. And again, that's what Bill is able to convey in his work. So the pieces I just described come out in the first gallery space, and then we go to larger works in the other galleries. So it's quite a journey through the exhibition space. And I hope everyone will also go and see I Do Not Know What It Is I Am Like, being shown in the theater as a proper theatrical screening of the work.
Yeah, and you mentioned the tactile aspect. It's also great to acknowledge, as you mentioned earlier, the concurrent exhibitions of Bill's work both the Fabric Workshop and Museum and also the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts. The Barnes and many of Philadelphia's key cultural institutions take a collaborative approach in joint presentations and publicity. This is wonderful to recognize. What are your thoughts, John, on how cities across the world can benefit from a fuller implementation of this mindset?
Well, this is a dream come true, let me just say. You know, when I began this exhibition planning for the Barnes, the idea of the Fabric Workshop bringing the veiling into the galleries of their museum is just, it's such a spectacular work. It's so subtle. I use the word spectacular, but it's so subtle. And with these sheets of fabric through which the image is, the scrim through which the image is projected, it just becomes a three-dimensional experience. And then the Pennsylvania Academy's Ocean Without a Shore is just, I've seen it there. It's like one of the great works of Bill's, where these figures, as you see, are in the distance. They come toward us. And then they, in black and white, and then they move through a sheet of falling water and come out in color, alive. And then they return back through that veil of sheet of water into the distance. So, I mean, a very evocative, very powerful. And that these two great institutions are showing that, along with the Barnes's survey, is really what... You know, this is where it goes to what I think is what we're all about as curators and in museums, and that's giving people a sense to see the original work. I mean, you see Bill's work in stills and books and in reviews and so forth, but you have to experience it. And the like any artwork, I mean, the reproduction of a painting is not the painting. So seeing it firsthand and giving an audience a chance to go to these different places and see this deep representation of Bill's is, I think, fantastic. And it really shows the importance not only of Bill's contribution to late 21st century art, but also the importance of the moving image. It is really attracting. You asked about new generation. Well, new generations of artists are being attracted to it because it offers infinite possibilities of exploring time, space, movement, narrative, and abstraction. So there we are. What a great thing is happening in Philadelphia. Congratulations, Philadelphia!
Indeed, and wonderful to support and acknowledge. John, you mentioned innovation, firsthand experience, the importance of the moving image. Well, on these collaborative notes, listeners can find out more online at barnesfoundation.org and on social media. I do not know what it is I am like, the art of Bill Viola, will be on view in the Barnes Roberts Gallery from June 30th through September 15th. The Barnes is located in Center City, Philadelphia at 2025 Benjamin Franklin Parkway and can be reached by phone at 215-278-7000. John, all the best to you and the entire Barnes team with what's sure to be a fascinating and much discussed exhibition.
Oh, thank you.
Access, stream, and download the Philadelphia Channel biweekly, part of the International Innovate podcast series on PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, iTunes, and online at innovatepodcast.org. On behalf of the Philadelphia Channel team and our collaborators, good to have you join us.